In 1953, the National Hurricane Center began naming the names of storms. Now, before 1953, they would just call the storm by the map coordinates to identify it. So they would say, that storm that's coming up from Florida, or that storm that's off the coast of Carolina. And up until 1953 in America, we did not name storms. But in 1953, we began naming storms. Now, ladies, don't get mad at me. I'm just telling you history. For the first 26 years, so until 1979, all storms were named after women. You say, why? And I say, I dare not venture a guess. But in 1979, they decided that women should not get all of the glory, so they started sharing the names of these storms with men. Now, these hurricane names are used on a six-year rotation. So if they use a Hurricane Michael or a Hurricane Florence or a Hurricane Bartholomew, it won't come up again for 6 years. And if the hurricane, the great storm, if it is very destructing and very damaging, they retire the name so they will not reuse that name again. Well, I just was blown away because history tells us in America that they did not name storms until 1953. But when we come to Acts chapter 27 and you look down there, they named this storm. It was a, and if you look at what they call it, it was a modern day hurricane. Now, this modern day hurricane for Acts 27 did not come in and just wipe out cities and towns and buildings. Paul and 275 plus other passengers were on a boat in this storm. Now, I don't like storms, and the storms that we have experienced lately have been quite frightening, quite discouraging, quite overwhelming. But I wasn't on a boat in the middle of the ocean. Could you imagine what they were experiencing? Their boat, if you read at the end of the chapter, finally did capsize and was destroyed. But they all made it to the shore and they were all safe. Now, in this horrible, difficult storm, Paul tells us, he gives us advice. He gives us some counsel for the storms of life. Here's what you do. Now, maybe you're smack dab in the middle of a storm. Maybe you just come out of a storm. Or maybe you are headed into a storm. But I encourage you, three brief thoughts that will help you, that will comfort you, that will give you strength and encouragement for the storms of life. I heard about a old boy, he was on a cruise and he got seasick and he's hanging over the side of the ship. He's just upchucking everything that he's worth. I mean, he's just, pardon me, puking his guts out. Guy comes up, pats him on the back and says, "Hey buddy, don't worry. No one's ever died from being seasick." The guy, he says, "That was my only hope of making it this far, was I was going to die and be out of my misery." When you're in storms and you say, "I just don't think I'm going to make it through this," Paul comes along and he says, "Let me encourage you. I don't want to kick you when you're down. I want to help you get up." And he gives us three encouraging truths to remember in the storms of life. Sermon's entitled, Storm Preparations. The first truth you must remember during the storms of life. Remember the sovereignty of God in storms. Remember the sovereignty of God in storms. Notice verse 15. And when the ship was caught and could not bear up into the wind, we let her drive, or we just let go. And running under a certain island, which is called Clauda, we had much work to come by the boat. So the power of the wind, the waves in the storm, they took control of this boat, and they were helpless. They could do nothing against this storm. And some of you are in that same situation. You say, I'm powerless. I am helpless. I can't do nothing to get me out of this horrible, difficult situation. I do not have the ability. Listen, friend. Listen. In the storms of life that are overwhelming and it's out of your control. Listen. It's never out of God's control. In the storms when you say, I'm powerless. I can't do nothing. Oh yes, you can get down on your knees and you can pray to the one who can do everything. So when the storms come, remember the sovereignty of God. Look at verse 17. Which when they had taken up, they used helps. That's what it says. Undergirding the ship. And fearing lest there should fall into the quicksands, strake sail, and so were driven. So what they would do, their ships were not like our ships. So they would put ropes underneath the ships, they would put chains underneath the ship, and they would tie them together to try to hold the ship together. So they had done everything that they possibly could do. They were afraid that this storm was going to take them 350 miles off course. It actually took them further than that. Verse 18. And we being exceedingly tossed with a tempest. You look up that word in the Greek, it means a nor'eastern. It was the worst of storms that you could possibly imagine. So we exceedingly, we overabundantly, we were rocking and reeling with this hurricane. The next day they lightened the ship. So they were throwing luggage overboard. They were throwing cargo overboard. They were throwing anything that they did not need. They were getting rid of it. So maybe this ship would not fall apart. And the third day we cast out with our own hands the tackling of the ship. For the sake of their lives, they got rid of their cargo. Listen, they were out of control. They did everything that they knew to do. And it still didn't help. And I come to some of you and you say, I've done everything. I've done everything financially I know how to do. I've done everything relationally I know how to do. I've done everything the doctor has told me to do. And it's done no good. What do you do when you have done everything that you're supposed to do and it doesn't seem to help? You remember that God is control. And it's not out of His control. When the storm is raging, when the thunder is roaring, Tracy's dog, when the thunder is going nuts, doesn't want to be close to me, but she is running for her master, which is Tracy, and she wants to be safe and protected by her owner. Hey, in the storms of life, when it's out of your control, remember, it's not out of God's control. In the storms of life, God is not in a heavenly panic. He never is. So you don't need to be either. Verse 20. And with neither sun nor stars in many days appeared, and no small tempest lay on us, all hope that we should be saved was taken away. Hold on a second. They didn't have our modern GPS systems. The way they got from one point to another was the stars, the sun. And there was no sun and there was no stars for many days. They were fearful that they would drift 350 miles. They ended up drifting 476 miles. These were experienced sailors. They had no idea where they were. They were lost. They were helpless. But in that lost, helpless time, God knew exactly where they were. I don't know what your storm is. I don't know what your heartache is. I don't know what your overwhelming scenario is. But God does. God knows exactly where you are. So when you're ready to throw up your hands and say, it's useless, don't throw up your hands. Get down on your knees and remember the sovereignty of Almighty God, that He is in control, and say, God, I'm lost, but I'm grateful that you're not. God, I'm confused, but I'm encouraged because you're not. God, I have no confidence in the flesh, but I have confidence in you. And remember 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 7. Casting, that word cast is a great word. My boys like watching Andy Griffith. You know how Otis, the town drunk, would go in, let himself into the jail and close the door behind him? Not what this word means. It means to throw. It means to hurl. North Carolina term, it means to fling. Georgia term, it means to chunk. Cast your burdens upon the Lord, and He shall sustain thee. He's never going to suffer the soul of the righteous to be moved. So in times of great storms, when you say, I cannot do anything to get me out of this situation, you can. That burden, that feeling, that anxiety, chuck it, hurl it, fling it, throw it on the Lord and say, God, I'm not in control, but I'm thankful that you are, so I'm trusting you with this storm. Can I get a witness on that? Some of you are right smack dab in it. But for whatever reason, you'd rather worry than throw it on the Lord. You'd rather complain than throw it on the Lord. You'd rather be depressed than throw it on the Lord. None of those do any good. Throwing your burden on the Lord and saying, God, I don't understand and I can't fix it, but you're God and I'm just going to trust you. Storms increase our faith. Your faith grows the most in the storms of life. Storms increase our focus. You let a storm roll into your life and you're saying, oh man, that doesn't matter. That doesn't matter. Oh, my job, my promotion, my bank account, those don't matter. It causes your focus to increase. I've seen it over and over and over again. You let a big storm roll into somebody's life, their fervency increases. Oh, man, I'm willing to sell out for the Lord. Storms are not a bad thing. They're a good thing because they cause us to realize it's not all about us. It's all about God. So when the storms roll in, remember the sovereignty of God in the storms of life. Little boy came from Sunday school class. They had written down and given all of the kids take-home papers. And they had been talking about having faith in God. And so they had given this little fella a take-home paper that said, have faith in God. He was getting on the bus, the church bus, to take him back to his little home where he came from. When the wind came through and the wind blew away his little take-home paper and it blew it off, and the little boy says, Oh no, there goes my faith in God. And I'm here to say, a lot of us are the same way. A little storm blows through, a little difficulty blows through, and you're saying, oh no, God doesn't like me, God's mad at me, God's punishing me. And I'm saying, no, 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 you grow the most, you learn the most, you are at your best times in the storms of life. So in the storms of life, number one, remember the sovereignty of God. Number two, rely on the Word of God in storms. Rely on the Word of God in storms. Verse 20, neither sun nor stars. Many days. They were, you will understand this. They had no power, no electricity, if you will, for many days. That's discouraging. That's frustrating. That was their situation, and no small tempest lay on us. All hope that we should be saved was taken away. What a storm. The crew, this experienced crew, they had given up hope. Next verse, verse 21. But after long abstinence, Paul stood forth in the midst of them and said, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me and not have loosed from Crete. He warned them, no, 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 we don't need to go out this time of year. It's in the fall of the year. No, no, we don't need to go out. And to have gained this harm and loss. Notice verse 22. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. Listen to me. If you got hankies, it's time to get them out. In the storms of life, when you're ready to give up, when you're ready to throw in the towel, when you're ready to say, it's out of my control, let's all just die. At that moment, somebody needs to stand up and testify. Somebody needs to stand up and say, be of good cheer. Our hope is not in this ship, and our hope is not in the cargo, and our hope is not in this earthly captain. Our hope is in the Lord. Be of good cheer. Hold on a second. Paul was in the same storm. Paul was in the same scenario. They're all the sailors, the experienced sailors are saying, we're going to die, we're going to die. We don't have enough life jackets. We're going to die, we're going to die. Why did he stand up and testify about Jesus in the storm of his life? Next verse. For there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve. How could he stand up in the storm of life and, bear with me, wave his hanky and encourage him? He had heard from God. He had a word from God. Same storm, same situation. 276 of them were fearful and afraid and ready to drown. One was saying, no, 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 there is hope. The difference in the one and the other 276, he had God's word. Hold on a second. It's available to you as well. Some of you are in scenarios and your family are saying, oh no, it's horrible. It's horrible. It's all gone. We're gone. We're going to declare bankruptcy. We're going to lose everything we have. We're never going to recover. Get out your Bible. Give them some cheer. Some of them, the doctors have walked in and said, no, it's over. There is no hope. You're never going to recover. Open up your Bible. Give them some cheer. Hey, some of them, you got the pink slip. You're losing your job. And in this economy, you may never get another job paying that. Open up your Bible. Give them some cheer. What got Paul through this storm? It's the same thing that will get you through this storm. The Word of Almighty God. Notice what he said. If I didn't get you to wave the hanky then, maybe I will now. Look what he says. by me stood this night an angel of God. Whose I am. Do you get that? In the storms of life, when you think you're forgotten, when you think you're going under, when you think you're going to drown, you must remember whose you are. You understand, when you have something of value, when you have something that is costly, you take care of it. You treasure it. You value it. You keep it in your safe care. Listen to this verse. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received from your tradition from your fathers, but with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. He gave His Son for you. You're not going to go down in the storms of life. You can get out your hanky and say, hey, listen, we're going to be all right. And they say, why are you going to be all right? And you say, you don't know who I belong to, do you? I'm a child of God. I'm a joint heir with Jesus, and I'm not going down. I'm going up because I am His. Can I get a witness? That's not all He said. I wish I had enough time to preach this whole sermon. I'm going to have to cut it short. Look at the second thing He said. Whose I am and whom I serve. That phrase was used of the Old Testament priest. They were servants of God. They serve God continually. Now listen, when you have a good servant, you look out for them. When you have a good servant, you take care of them. When you have a good servant, you make sure they're protected from all of the tragedies and heartache that you can protect them from. And in this storm, Paul says, hey, be of good cheer. I got God's word. Hey, whom I belong to and whom I serve. Hold a second. Past tense, I have been serving Him. Statement of fact. Future tense, statement of faith. I'm going to continue to serve Him. Hey, you can encourage people in the storms of life with the word of Almighty God. You belong to Him. You're His servant. Look on to the next verse. Verse 23. Stood by me night, angel of God, whose I am, whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul. Thou must be brought before Caesar. Lo, God hath given thee all them that sail with thee. Paul! How do you know that you're not going down? Paul says, I have the word of Almighty God. He says, I got to go to Rome. He says, I got to go to Caesar. If I got to go to Rome and I got to go to Caesar, that means I'm not going to the bottom of the ocean. Glory to God. Let me give you some cheer. It's not the first time he'd been promised this. Chapter 23, verse 11. Guys, put it on the screen. Listen to this. And the night following, the Lord stood by him and said, be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. If you write in your Bibles, you're not there, but you should circle that word must. When God says you must do something, you must do it. Paul had not made it to Rome yet, so therefore his journey was not done. Therefore, he was not going to drown. The ship may explode, the ship may fall apart, but he was not going to drown because he had the word of Almighty God. Friend, listen to me. In the storm, in the trial, in the difficulty that you are currently in, you can trust your word that gives no hope. Or you can trust God's word that gives abundant hope. You can trust the news media word that discourages, or you can trust God's word that encourages. Oh, you can trust the Republican Party's word, or the Democratic Party's word, or the Libertarian Party's word, and that's just politics. Or you can trust God's word, which is health, which is strength, which is truth that you can base your life upon. The question is, whose word are you going to trust? Name was David Livingston, a pioneer missionary to Africa. They were giving him an honorary doctorate at the University of Glasgow. He walked up to receive it. Mr. Livingston, would you say a few words? He had faced all kinds of sickness, all kinds of disease. He had been attacked by a lion. His arm just hung on his side. He could not move it. He walked up, arm dangling. He said, would you like to know how I made it in the deepest, darkest part of Africa? Trying to convert people that wanted to kill me. Do you want to know how I made it? Here's how. Lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Friend, it was the word of God, and it never one time failed me. Hey, and it won't fail you as either. You can listen to the devil, or you can listen to God. You can listen to your emotions, which are liars, or you can listen to God. You can listen to what everybody else is saying and be discouraged and want to just end it all. Or you can listen to God and go around and encourage people. In the storms of life, remember the sovereignty of God. The storms of life rely on the word of God. Number three, I'm done. Storms of life reflect the Son of God. Reflect the Son of God in the storms of life. Men always try to make it on their own before they finally turn to God. Always try to figure it out, finagle it out, before they depend upon God. Notice verse 29. Acts 27, verse 29. Then fearing lest we should have fallen upon the rocks, they cast four anchors out of the stern and wished for the day. Verse 30, and as the shipmen were about to flee out of the ship, when they had let down the boat into the sea under color, as though they have cast anchors out of the foreship. So Paul repeatedly encouraged them, trust God, trust God, trust God. Some of the men were condemned prisoners. Some of the men were going to jail at Caesar's prison. They needed to hear of Jesus. And Paul says, I'm not going to shirk this responsibility in this scenario with this rough crowd that I am in. I will testify of Christ. Hold on a second. Some of you live in rough scenarios. Some of you work with some rough characters. Some of you live around some rough characters. You can say, well, I'm just going to mind my own business. I'm just going to let bygones be bygones, and I'm not going to mess with them and hope they don't mess with me. I was like, God wants you messing with them. You see, they're on their way to hell, and they need to hear about Jesus. And so the stuff that's going on that causes you to cross paths, it's not a coincidence. It's providence. It's providence for you to stand up and speak up. You say, but you don't know my family. My aunt, she's a mean old cookie. She'll just belt me. She needs Jesus. Paul speaks up. Look at verse 31. Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, you cannot be saved. Don't want to be hermeneutically inaccurate. But I see a beautiful picture of Christ there. It's just like Noah and his ark was a picture of safety and salvation. So he tells everyone on this ship, if you try to make it your own way, if you try to get there yourself, you're going to die. But if you will stay in the ship of safety, you will make it. Hold on a second. And it's true in your area of life as well. You think you can make it to heaven by being a good person? You won't. I'm going to give a lot of money to the church. That's fine. We'll be appreciative. But you won't get to heaven by your money. Well, I'm going to become a member. Wonderful. Love to have you as a member. But just because you're a member of church doesn't mean you'll be a member in heaven. Well, I'm going to go and I'm going to get baptized in the baptistry. That's great. You get to heaven one way. Jesus. Committing your life to Jesus by saying, Jesus, you died on the cross as my substitute to pay for my sin, and I embrace you, Jesus. I accept you. I commit my life to be your follower. It's one way to heaven, Jesus. And Paul says, hey, don't try to make it your own. You won't make it. Look at verse 32. Wherefore, I pray you to take some meat, for this is your help. For there shall not a hair fall from the head of any of you. Verse 35. And when he had thus spoken, he took bread and gave thanks to God. Hold on a second. Some of you, when you're out eating with the boys, what are they going to think if I pray? Who cares what they think? What is he going to think if you don't pray? He gave you the food. Bow your head and thank where it came from. You know what? When my mama would cook for us, we would say, hey, thank you, mother, for the food. And if we didn't, my father would give us a piece of action, if you know what I mean. God gave you that food. Thank him at the table when you're with everybody, all those lost people. They need to see somebody that has faith in Jesus. Hey, how about all of the other scenarios? Hey, they're all griping, they're all belly aching, they're all cussing, they're all telling their dirty stories. Testify for Jesus. Look back at the verse. Look at it. And he gave thanks to God. A lot of opportunities for you to give thanks to God. Look where he did it. In presence of them all. A-L-L means Bubba. You know who Bubba is. Tattoos everywhere. Nose rings everywhere. Spikes everywhere. Dog collars everywhere. You don't mess with the Bubbas. Paul gave praise to God in the midst of them all, including the Bubbas. I don't know who you work with. I don't know who's in your extended family, but somebody needs to hear of the goodness of God. In the midst of them all, Jesus wasn't ashamed of you when he was on the cross. Why are you ashamed of him when you're at work? In the midst of them all, and when he had broken it, he began to eat. Let me just skip to the end and we'll be done. Look down at verse 44. And the rest, some on boards, some on broken pieces of the ship. And so it came to pass that they escaped all, A-L-L, safe to land. They escaped all safe to land. Why? Why did all of these people escape safely to land? Listen, they had a person who told them the way that they should go. They had a person that told them the way that they shouldn't go. We just saw it in the chapter. They had a person to stand up and speak truth, even to the ones that did not want to hear it. Same is true with you. There are people that will safely escape hell if you'll speak up. If you'll tell them the way that they should go, if you'll tell them the way that they shouldn't go, you will save them from eternal damnation. If you care more about their soul than you do what people think about you, if you care more about your God than the storm, some of you are so overwhelmed. Some of you are so beaten down. Some of you are so dragging. You can't be testifying of the praises of God because you're beaten down. You're not trusting God in it. In the storms of life, remember the sovereignty of God. In the storms of life, rely on the Word of God. In the storms of life, you magnify and you reflect and you testify the Son of God, because there are people in that scenario that you will save for eternity if you reflect Jesus in that situation. His name was George Kafko. George Kafko. He played for the Brooklyn Dodgers football team a long time ago. George Kafko, halfback, went to college at the University of Tennessee, halfback, given the football to run. Big old tackle, nailed him, knocked him back. He kept on going. The end came and hit him. He spun out of it, kept on going. It was coming down to the end of the half, and you had three linebackers come and sabotage him, and somehow he eluded them and kept on going. The safety, the cornerback, they came and they dived trying to get him, and they couldn't get him. And right then, back in the olden days, they had the timekeeper would let off a gun. And finally, he got into the end zone and he fell down as the gun fired. And a guy up there in the stand said, "Dear Lord, they had to shoot him to stop him." May that be said of all of us. No storm's going to stop me. No hurricane's going to stop me. No loss of my stuff is going to stop me. No ship breaking up is going to stop me. I got God. And I'm His. And I'm His servant, past tense and future tense. I'm relying on His Word, and He's given me His Word. He will never leave me. He'll never forsake me. So I'm just going to go on. And they're going to have to shoot me to stop me. And in the midst of those storms, many will come to know Jesus if you don't throw in the towel.